everyone, welcome back to the Live Support Ops Hangout. This is our weekly talk show focused on all things customer service, customer support, customer experience, basically all things customer. We're live via Google Hangout, just like this one, every single Monday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. It's Monday, of course. It's January 27th. That makes this episode number 31, which I'm tentatively calling The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly Support Experiences, just because I watched that movie this weekend, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and it stuck with me. I'm your host, Chase Clements. But the more interesting people on the panel are the ones that we're going to show next. They're the ones that are actually going to do a lot of the talking and telling us stories and so forth. So let's go ahead and meet each of our customer pros. We're going to start with Chase Livingston from Automatic. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Awesome. And then Carolyn from Buffer.
Hello.
And last but certainly not least is Jeff from Wistia.
Hey, everybody.
So today's show is all about the best and not so best support experiences that we've all had. Since we're all support pros or customer champions or happiness heroes and all the other titles that we give ourselves, we're in a really unique spot to look at the interactions with other customer service teams, other customer support teams. It's kind of like how if you've ever been in the restaurant industry, you can really never go into another restaurant without looking at it differently, like wondering if the how the salads are made, did they really clean the bathrooms today, all that kind of like little nitpicky stuff. So on the show, we're going to do just that. We're going to talk about, first, some of the best support experiences we've ever had, and then second, we'll call them the not-so-great ones that we've had, too. So you'll get to hear those stories along with all the things that we can learn from them. So we'll tell a story, and then we'll talk about it and see what we can pull out of it. So let's kind of open it up. Anybody want to volunteer to go first on this one?
I'll go first.
Oh, Carolyn's up first. So what do you got? It'll be dealer's choice. So you can go with the great support story first or the not-so-great one.
Okay. I'm going to go with the great one. And you've actually heard me tell this story before, but I'm going to tell sort of one like really epic one and then one really short, simple one. So the one that I always tell that's like sort of the epic one, actually occurred at my last job. But I had nothing to do with it, so I can still tell the story because I'm not patting myself on the back because I unfortunately was not the one to do this thing. But it's just one of those like really remembering that you're working with humans stories. And I worked for a company called Emma, a Nemo marketing company, and it's a recurring billing kind of like Buffer where you just get, you know, an automatic, kind of small, but it adds up deduction from your credit card every month. And someone called in and said, you know, she'd been going through all these, you know, incredibly exhausting and time-consuming and stressful medical treatments for, I think it was a form of cancer, for months, if not years. And she sort of had put all of her business on hold and was just looking at her, was just like sort of getting around to looking at her books. And she didn't realize that she hadn't been using the service for, you know, the better part of a year, but that she'd been being charged. And so she wasn't actually even saying, I want my money back. She was just saying, can you stop charging from here on out? And whoever took the call said, yes, absolutely. And then kind of thought, yeah, you know, maybe we want to take this one step further and brought it to the billing team, who said, you know, absolutely refund, obviously, all the time that she wasn't using the account, and then just went back and refunded some of the time that she was using the account, just sort of as a thank you and a good luck. And then they sent her flowers. And when she realized what had happened, she called the office and she was like, put me on speaker. And like everything just like shut down and she was like crying and we were all crying. And it was like one of these crazy moments in the support land where you like really makes you change someone's life a little bit by treating them with a lot of respect. And so I have to say that that's probably the most incredible thing that I've ever experienced in terms of great customer service. So that's like, kind of my epic story.
Yeah. What do you think? Because I can totally get behind the, you know, doing the whole billing refund. Do you think it was that, or was it like even going as far as sending flowers and kind of, you know, taking that moment to make her just more of a human rather than just a customer? Like, what point do you think was kind of the tipping point from a good, solid customer experience over toward that just great, epic one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I hesitate to guess at all that she had gone through, but I think that she had sort of been through a lot of hassle with insurance, and she had just not been treated with a lot of respect in the time that she had been having this experience. And so having somebody not argue with her and say, like, of course you come first and that kind of thing, I think regardless of, the flowers and the refunds were a great touch, but I think it was more than anything, it was probably the tone of the voice that the customer service person used, just let her know that they were on her side.
Aw, yeah. So that's like a really just, guys, I don't know how we're going to top that. So we might just want to stop now and go
I know.
Home. Because my
so that's
story.
A big total exception, nothing. Right? But yeah, that's like not something that you can do every day. So the other thing that I was going to say was just that, like, lately I've been experiencing a lot of situations where I ask how to do something and they write me back. And we actually talked about this last week, but and they say it's been done. And I know that Jess can argue with me on this one, but I just signed up for Sane Box or Sane Later or whatever it's called, that helps you organize your email. And I did it for both my Buffer account and my Gmail account. And then I wrote back and I said, oh, can you give me the steps to combine these accounts? Because I saw it in the FAQ that it can be done. And he was like, it's done. And just like that kind of thing, I think that someone, actually my friend Delaney at my last job said it best. She was like, when they write in and they say, how do I cancel my account? They're not actually saying, how do I cancel my account? They're saying, please cancel my account, which I think is a really key distinction. And so I've just been loving the experiences that I've been having like that lately, where I reach out and they say, it's done. Have a good day.
Jeff, do you want to push back on that one? Because I was going to push back a little too.
Well, the only thing I would push back on was specifically around cancels, actually. Just that was like, I think that she's absolutely right that when people write in and they say, how do I cancel? They want you to cancel. I don't think that does mean you should cancel. So for us, we've gotten into trouble where someone's written in and said, hey, can you cancel? And we're like, yeah, sure, no problem. And if it doesn't get canceled for whatever reason, then it's really unclear like what happened. Right. Like, so we make people cancel their own accounts so that they make the decision to cancel the account. They press the button that says like cancel. Sorry, I probably told the wrong story. We've had people request a cancel. We've canceled the account and they haven't gone through it with like their team. So it's like really unclear why it was canceled or when it was canceled because we did it for them instead of one of them pressing the button. Mm-hmm. The second part of that is like, we also ask for a lot of feedback when you cancel. And we lose all of that opportunity if we do it for them. So I totally agree with you that the last thing they want to get back is, oh, here's how you cancel. But normally what I write back is we don't cancel for you because of reasons A, B, and C, but it's actually really, really easy. We're not trying to hide it. Here's what you would need to do that. So only the slightest pushback. Honestly, I think that Carolyn, as always, is right.
Yeah, just a little pushback for me. And it comes like, you never know if the customer was going to do that right then. When they're merging their accounts, you don't know if they wanted to merge that account this week, next week, maybe a month down the road. Maybe they were just getting prepped for that merge. Same with account cancellations. And I say that because, especially if your account can't be uncancelled, then you've got to tread lightly. If you go ahead and cancel an account, they might not have wanted to cancel it until like next week, next month, something like that. They just wanted the info handy. So I kind of pull a Jeff too. I write back and I say, here's how to do it. Would you like me to do it? And if you would like me to, then we can go ahead and do that today. I can do that for you. In case they don't want it to happen right away.
I totally agree with the cancellation, and I should specify totally agree that canceling an account and deleting data is really, I make people like promise and swear and like pinky swear that they really truly want me to do it. I do cancel the payment sometimes. Like as soon as they say, how do I cancel? I usually just do it for them, but that doesn't delete any data and it's really easy to undo. So I totally, totally agree with that. I've had a couple situations where they've said, how do I cancel? And I write back instructions. And then they, the next month, say, I wrote in and canceled. How do I cancel? And we send back instructions. And then in 6 months, they're like, oh my God, I'm calling the IRS. Like, stop charging my card. Because they feel like sending that email is canceling. So I think it's a tricky one. I agree that that deleting data and shutting down an account is not something to do lightly or yourself. But I only meant payment. But
yeah, the only reason I push back on that is because I will get an email from somebody that was like, I did what you said and canceled their account. Now they're mad at me. And, you know, there's always one. So use your own judgment and all that jazz.
Very true.
Cool. So there's your great story. We'll save your bad story for, or not so great story, for just a second. Either one of you guys want to go next on one of your stories?
I'll go.
Awesome. Go for it.
Mine is not nearly as epic or climactic as Carolyn's, but she ruined it for the rest of us.
Sorry.
But I did recently switch to T-Mobile for my cell phone carrier, and I had some issues with porting our numbers over from Verizon, is who we were with previously. And so I was worried that it would be a hassle to, you know, get Verizon to actually release the numbers, and that way T-Mobile could port them into their system. But so I got on the phone with the T-Mobile porting people, and we were having some issues with some kind of passcode or something like that was set on the Verizon account. And what they actually did was bring in a Verizon support rep on like a three-way call with me to get that transferred. And the Verizon rep was, you know, super nice, even though I was, you know, leaving his service or whatever, but he was actually able to help me figure out the passcode and get the number transferred to T-Mobile, and, you know, it was really super helpful, surprisingly. And so it was a neat experience. I had never had anything like that with, you know, like a utility type company. Usually they're either hard to get in touch with or not very easy to talk to once you do get in touch with them. But this was, you know, just like having a conversation with two normal people trying to get a number transferred. It wasn't a bunch of you know, pre-written jargon stuff that they were just repeating back to me.
Wait, so they called up Verizon and brought them into the conversation with you rather than telling you to go off and this is what you need to do and talk to them.
Yep. He offered, you know, can I, you know, just get somebody from Verizon on the phone with us here, and that way, you know, we can both get the information so I can go ahead and get this done more quickly for you.
That is pure genius. Like, if Carolyn's story gives us like the warm and fuzzies, like yours shows like the power of technology right there. The ability to go in and actually bring up a competing service and just go ahead and get everybody on the same call, sorted out. That's fantastic.
I was impressed.
Now, tech-wise, the only question I was going to ask, do you know if, like, and maybe I don't know if you know now or then or whatever, but I wonder if T-Mobile had, like, some kind of setup already with Verizon, or if they're just, like, calling in on a regular support line. Like, did you have to wait long for them to bring on that other person?
It wasn't too terribly long, so I don't know if – the Verizon guy did mention that they work together a lot. So I don't know if it's something that they do regularly for people or what. But either way, it was, you know, a nice experience.
Man, that is awesome. I don't know how often, like, any of us on the panel – has customers that are leaving us going towards somebody else. But I'm sure, like, you know, if Buffer or Wistia had like a competing service, that would be like something good to offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Carolyn, if somebody was leaving Buffer, going to another Buffer type service and wanted to, like, you know, jump on a phone call about transferring things over. Yeah, assuming like tech-wise you could do it and everything else, not talking like tech limitations. But like that would be a really good way to like let them leave, right?
Yeah, that would be amazing. In fact, I wish we could do that more easily. Our data, you can export the data, but you can't, not in any way that you could really start not fresh, brand new in a different service. But yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
In fact, we do have that situation more that somebody's trying to use our service with a third party. And often we're like, hold on. Like, either do you want to email Packet Help or should I email Packet Help? So yeah, I'm definitely inspired by this story.
We actually do something fun, you know, funny you bring that up at Automattic, because some people sometimes want to leave WordPress.com and move over to, you know, it's like a self-hosted WordPress.org, so they have a little more control. And so we offer a guided transfer service where some of our happiness engineers will actually transfer the site over for you to your new hosting account and stuff like that, so you don't have to start completely from scratch.
That's brilliant. That's just so brilliant. Like, everyone talks about, and I think Google kind of sums it all up with like their data liberation thing, right? Like, your data is your data, take it wherever you want. But like Carolyn mentioned, there's a difference between here's your data and here's your data that you can use to move to something else.
Mm-hmm. So depends on what format you get it in.
Exactly. Yeah. So Jeff, you're up. What do you got?
Good. I wanted to put some space between mine and Carolyn's because hers was just so emotional. And I feel like I don't think I've ever experienced, I mean, I've provided some pretty cool support experiences, or at least I thought it was pretty cool, to people who were in a similar situation, but I've certainly never experienced it personally and can talk about what that feels like. So mine was really recently. Some people, I have been talking about this with some people, but we got set up for Temper. And Temper is like, we had a whole show on this. We talked about Hively. We talked about Smiley, best name for an app ever, over at 37 Signals. And I don't think even Temper, I don't even think that was around back when we talked about it. Or if it was like very new.
Yeah, it was like just coming on the scene.
Yeah, maybe, like, but I know that Josh has been on your show, mm-hmm. right, Chase?
Yep.
And so anyway, you know, we had talked at the start of the new year with my team, and they were really interested in getting some more quantitative data about how they were doing. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in that too. I think it's a great way to up the transparency game internally for other people to know, you know, we're getting 95% approval or whatever our approval rating is. So anyway, I got signed up for it. And right when it happened, you know, right when the signup happened, I had a couple of questions for Temper support. They had a link right there, and I dropped them a note. I put them in air quotes because I'm pretty sure it's just Josh. And he's working on like three other businesses, right? I haven't had more context maybe than most other people. I emailed in and I had, you know, two or three questions about, where he was going with it and how I might implement, the features that I was looking for. And the guy got back to me within, I would say 15 minutes of a brand new sign up. Wow. I have paid him, you know, exactly $40, and we're already on like a first name basis, with him telling me about the roadmap of the product. And we had a back and forth for the next probably 2 hours by email that was like very lively. And he was being really helpful, not like, let me end this conversation, but, you know, asking the kind of questions around like, what are, you know, how about this? Is this something you'd want to do? Or what do you think about the value of this? And actually prompting further discussion. From a one-man team, which I was just really, really impressed by and blown away by. So as a result, whenever I've had the ability or the opportunity to talk about Temper over the last 2 weeks, I've absolutely, you know, I've taken to Twitter, I've taken to anybody from other companies that I've talked to, said, hey, if you're interested in getting more quantitative feedback, you should definitely check them out. And it's all because I had a pretty positive experience right off the bat.
Well, now we know who your shout out's going to be at the end too.
Evidently. I already gave a shout out.
Oh yeah, you did last week. Yeah.
I think I did. Yeah. I actually don't know who my shout out's going to be today.
Well, you just reuse that one. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's, you know, and Josh is fantastic. I don't understand how he is. He's like a one man show and manages to keep all these customers happy with it just being him. He probably doesn't sleep. I don't know.
Definitely not.
You know, but that instant communication back and forth, you know, you didn't have to wait 4 or 6 hours or 8 hours or anything like that. It was just as quick as you can get. I mean, I think that's really important, especially if you're a new person and you're communicating via email, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, where he's at with that company, he does not have all the answers on his site. The site is designed to be as simple as possible and just get you started. And so for someone who's looking for something specific like I am, mm-hmm. I have questions around like, will this do this? Or do you have plans to have the app do this? And for him to be as like quick and also forthcoming about what he's going to do and what he's not going to do is just really, really useful. Mm-hmm. You know, other sites you go to have pages and pages of FAQs so that you can get the answers you need. But for somebody who doesn't have the resources to do those or isn't totally sure how to answer some of those questions yet, you know, it's like still early, so some of those answers may change really quickly. Being as responsive as he is a really good help.
Awesome. So that's our three great stories. We're going to shift now into our not so great stories. And I'm kind of going to use mine to kind of do the transition because mine was a tale of two stories inside of each other. I think we talked about it a little maybe, or I might've talked with one of you about it anyway. So AT&T has a great service, with this great little device called a MiFi, right? MiFi hotspots, basically, you know, just like a wireless router, you carry it around with you. It runs off cell towers. It's really great, especially when you're remote, like some of us are, because you can be literally anywhere and still be able to tether to a device and have internet. So mine went out, and my first like reaction is to go back to the AT&T store where I bought it. Makes sense, right? Like you buy a product, you go back to the store to get support for it. That's not how it works. Like I walk in, the first thing they ask is, oh, did you call the 411 number? And I was like, no, I mean, this is the store. You should support your product. He said, no, we're a sales store. We're not a support center. So he literally brought me over to a desk and said, here, I'll get the support people on the phone for you. He was nice enough at least to like dial some back number that instantly got somebody on the phone, and kind of, you know, allowed me to work through that with them. And once I got on the phone, it was fine. They sent me the info I needed to request a new MiFi, and then I would ship mine back, yada yada. But that first kind of like initial, like we're a sales store, we're not a support store. That just really, for whatever reason, I just kind of stopped. I was like, wait, what? Like you're selling something, and I can't, like you don't even have somebody in the back room that maybe could help me. I have to dial into the number. So that was kind of like the sadder part of it. The other part. They sent me a new MiFi hotspot, which promptly went out too. So I was kind of like 0 for 2 all of a sudden. But this time I used the live chat option. It was so quick, so easy. You know, you log into the live chat. They're there within 30 seconds. You tell them exactly what's going on. And they fix it. They fix it right there. And then at the end, you have a transcript to print out to keep around if you have questions about, like, I had to ship the device back. The routing number was mixed up, but I had the chat transcript so I could actually give them the number right away, which was really handy. So the live chat support from AT&T was fantastic. The idea that your typical AT&T store doesn't do support for their products, not so fantastic. That just kind of irked me the wrong way. And, you know, even if you don't offer support there, at least be nice. Like, don't make me feel bad for coming in the store. If that makes sense. Any of you guys use AT&T? Oh, Carolyn does. Sorry, I'm having to look at like the little bitty pictures down there. So yeah, Carolyn, like what's your experience been with, like, as far as like the support side of AT&T rather than the sales side?
It's funny you should say that. I don't know if you were trying to segue into the second part of the story.
Oh, is this the segue? This is fantastic. We couldn't have set it up even better. So go.
Yeah. So, okay. So I feel comfortable telling this story because I just had a really excellent support experience with AT&T yesterday and I tweeted about it. So I feel like my AT&T karma is like positive. So I can tell this story. My experience is from several years ago, which I think things were different in terms of support technology and all that. But yeah, this was actually back when they were Singular. I don't know if you remember that. And I have to say, my experience with AT&T has been a lot better than my experience with Singular ever was. But it's a little bit hard to separate them when one company owns the other, and like whatever they call themselves, I just want them to treat me with respect. And so I just remember like so many times having to call and like they make you wait forever and then they transfer you and then they make you wait forever and then they transfer you and then they ask you what the problem is and they ask you for your phone number and they ask you the last four digits of your social security number. Having to repeat your story, I think provides for like the quickest path between like rational consumer to fury. It's like a game of chutes and ladders. Like you just like jump on a slide when someone's like, oh, hi, like, how can I help you? And you're like, I've been on this phone for an hour. Like, what do you mean? How can you help me? And what do you mean? Who am I? And what do you mean? What's the phone number that we're talking about? And so I've just had so many nightmare experiences with them over the years that I was going to mention them as the worst experience. Not because I think that, not because I want to hate on the brand at all, but because I think that this is a really key one. So one of the things that I really value email for is over like phone support is that there's a transcript for everything, like you said. Yep. So we do something a little bit unusual, I think, for support teams, and that is that we don't claim cases. And one of the things that we have to be extra careful about is that we have to make sure that we know the whole story before you jump in for somebody else, because that's one of the hot button things, I think, that sets people off. And understandably so, you've just written an email. And we've actually tried to change our entire approach to this. And so we're going to continue to do this, but we're thinking about ways to make people feel like they have to give less upfront, because then it's a conversation as opposed to like, I bared my soul, now fix it for me. Mm-hmm. Like even just a concept of like making the box on the support form a little bit shorter, so people feel like they just can tell like a little bit of the story and then we ask questions, as opposed to them being like, I've told you everything you need to know, like don't make me wait another 3 days while you ask like one more question. And I think that that's just such a key thing that I've learned from that experience, is like, just don't make me repeat my story. Like find the other email, investigate it yourself extensively first, see if you can like reproduce the issue, whatever it is. Like if somebody says like, what's the error that you're seeing? And then like, you could have just looked in that account and seen the error. Then like, if it's a drop-down error, that's one thing. But if it's like still waiting for you in there and somebody doesn't check your account first, like that's one of those things that I think is absolutely essential that you can learn from. So that was the story that I was going to mention, even though I hate saying, because I had a similar, like, I needed to tether experience yesterday, and they were excellent, lovely person, spoke to me on the phone, picked up immediately, like, such a great experience. It was really good. But, yeah, in the past, I've not had the best experience there, so I was going to try that.
Yeah, I think with me it was, and I've learned my lesson, like, don't go to the store unless you're buying something, because if you're buying something, you're fine. They're going to be really knowledgeable and everything else. If they're not buying it, then whatever you can do, be it live chat, you can't do emails. It's live chat and call, at least with AT&T. Go with one of those options first. One thing I'm curious about, so you mentioned, and we talked about it briefly before, you mentioned that nobody on your team like claims cases. Is that true, like even inside of the shifts themselves? So like if I email Buffer and talk to you, you ask me a question, I reply, is it going to go back to you or is it going to go back to somebody else if it's all happening inside of like 5 or 10 minutes?
It could be somebody else, yeah.
Okay.
We might not, like, it might take me longer to read through the trail between you and Mary than it would take me to answer the next one. So I just might answer the next one if I know Mary's around. But,
okay.
Yeah, but no, there's no claiming at all. So you could write back, thanks, and get back, like, you're welcome from a different person.
Nice. Awesome. So we'll just keep going down the line on this one. Chase Livingston, what not so great story do you have?
So, my wife and I only have internet. We don't have cable TV or anything like that, through the provider that we have here. I had heard rumors that it might be possible to get like a basic cable package. So I was kind of curious, and I want to say it was a while back, but I want to say I live chatted with the company. Mm-hmm. Just to ask to see if they had that option available, and they basically told me no, we don't offer that, blah blah blah. And I was like, okay, fine, no worries, I'll just stick with my internet. But then starting, I think it was just about the next day, they proceeded to call me at least once a day. trying to sell me their, you know, digital TV package with DVR and HD and all that other stuff. And so, you know, I answered the first call and realized what it was and hung up. But then, you know, the next several days and weeks, I would either get a call, you know, every day or almost every day. And luckily it was right before iOS 7 came out when you could actually block callers. So I've now, I don't know if they're still calling me or not, but can block the phone number. But it was rather annoying that I asked a simple question and got an answer and told them I was fine with it. And then they still tried to sell me something that I didn't want for days and weeks after that.
It's growth hacking. That's how that happens. Oh,
yeah.
Right. That new phrase and everything else. yeah. So lesson learned, just,
keep my mouth shut.
yeah. At least like if you're the company side, don't bug people like that.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess it sounds so simple, right? Like don't call somebody every day, but I know that they're, and I've been on the receiving end of lots of, like, you sign up for a service and you get an email for them like every day for the first 10 days. Mm-hmm. Like that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just, you know, I mean, I can understand calling, you know, once or twice just to follow up to see if maybe you do want to, you know, upgrade or whatever. I mean, that's what a lot of businesses do, but you know, to continue after I, you know, answer the phone and decline politely, and then, you know, don't answer your calls for every succeeding day. Maybe take the hint.
That's phone spam. That's what that is.
Just very much so.
Spam. And then to round out the not so great, bad, and ugly versions of our support stories, Jeff, what not so great experience do you have?
So I chose this one because I think it's going to be really counterintuitive or just not unpopular, but people will be surprised, or I think they will be.
Surprise ending. I like it.
My crappy experience was with Zappos.
What?
Who have never been anything but amazing with me. Now, I am not a shoe fiend, but I have spent probably, I don't know, $500, $800, $1,000 with Zappos over the years. And I bought, yeah, I mean, $100 a pair of shoes. I probably bought eight to 10 pairs of shoes with Zappos.
Do you see our eyebrows? Like,
yes, I do.
You right are now. A shoe fiend, my friend.
I bought a pair of boots, Clark's boots from Zappos probably 2 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. And within the first 6 months or so, they had started falling apart, like water was getting in them, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I took them to a shoe cobbler, an expert, and was like, what do I need to do to fix this? And he took a little while to get back to me. He like kept the shoes for like probably a couple of weeks. He called me back and it was like, you would need to totally re-glue the soles. It's going to cost like a bunch of money. And admittedly, I sat on this for a little while. But anyway, I finally went on Zappos. I like kind of got motivated. I was upset about it because I had heard somebody else say, oh yeah, I've had a really crappy experience with a pair of Clarks I got on Zappos too. And I went onto the site and read some of their recent reviews, and they were all of this same issue. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to Zappos through live chat. And I told them the situation. They looked up the order and said that I had purchased the boots 13 months prior. And so I was outside of the 1 year warranty.
Aww.
I struggled for an answer on that one because it's one of those things where it's very clear how much money I've spent with them, right? And so therefore, like how often I probably tell people, oh yeah, I got them on Zappos, like go to Zappos. And everyone raves about Zappos. I'd mm-hmm. never had a bad experience. And it was so shocking to get, you know, in live chat, a lot of the like emotion is gone, right? Cause you're talking in like text language. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of like, oh, looks like you got these over a year ago and nothing, like there was a period at the end of that sentence.
Oh.
And I was like, that's possible. Yeah. have you heard of anyone else having this experience with Clark's boots? And I think they were like, no, not personally. I haven't heard anything. And I'm like,
oh,
okay. So, did not buy another pair of Clark's. Actually, I'm wearing a pair of Clarks right now, but I didn't buy them. My girlfriend got them for me. And I have not bought from Zappos since, not because I'm upset, actually, but just because I think I've preferred to, like, not buy shoes on the web now. I want to actually be able to, like, try them on to make sure that they seem good. So it's, like, it soured my experience on buying that particular good online. And now here I am telling you a story about how crappy their support is when it's, like, they're so well known for being such a good support company. So kind of a bummer.
Wow, especially.
Similar negative experiences.
Really?
Not the same category of problem at all, but yeah, it's just funny that, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jim.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, see, I think we need to start like a Zappos like support group or something, because you two can't be the only ones out there that are like, no, their support.
It's crazy because I'm sure everyone else has experienced this before where you order something on Zappos and it says it's going to take like whatever, 2 weeks. And then they email you and they're like, oh, here's a nice surprise. We put you on premium shipping and you're going to get it tomorrow. And you're like, oh, that's so awesome. That makes me feel so, so great. It's like a psychology thing. And so every message about them has been so positive for so many years. And then when you actually have to have a support experience with them and it's so terrible, you're like, it's like every up is down and left is right and everything's cats and dogs living together. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Man, that first off, you are a shoe fiend at that amount. And second off, that's sad because they not only soured you on Zappos, but like buying shoes in general online. It's one of those, it's now like they cut off other companies from getting you as a customer too.
Perhaps they cured me of my shoe fiendishness. Whatever the word is.
Addiction. Yeah, is what you're looking for.
I don't want to say I'm a shoe addict, Chase. That does not sound right. But they cured me of it. So maybe the key to curing other addictions is just to give people a really crappy experience around getting them. Although buying cigarettes has got to be a crappy experience every time, right? You walk into a dingy place and you're like, yeah, I'll take that box on there. I guess that won't work.
That's a good place to leave it. That's our stories, the best that we've got, the worst that we've experienced. Send us your story. We want to hear about it too. We'll talk about it on an upcoming show, or we'll publish it on the site. Email me, chase@supportops.co, with your stories, which brings us to the fun part of the week. We got to get over that very sad, sad story from Zappos. Jeff, are you ready?
I am. Hang on.
It's this week's shout-outs. Oh, let's start with Chase Livingston on this one. What do you got?
Unfortunately, it is a little bit of an addiction after we talked about that. But I'm sure you've all heard of it and probably played it. But the new iOS game QuizUp, I don't know if you've used it or not, but I've become rather addicted to some of the history and things about it. So. If you haven't played it, feel free to look me up and let's play some quizzes.
Didn't Jeff mention that one time? I feel like I've heard that name before.
Did you mention it?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, I forgot about it. So.
Yeah, so there's your first person that can look you up and play quizzes. Is that?
That's right.
That's the phrasing, play quizzes?
I don't know what it is, honestly, but
there's literally no way to know, Clemens.
But our words for this show have been a challenge, considering we're all support pros and happiness heroes and customer champions. And anyways, Carolyn, what do you got?
Mine this week is called Product Hunt. And it's just a really basic service by Ryan Hoover. And it's for people who scour TechCrunch and Mashable and all those things to find the latest and greatest new launches so that you can get your username for all of them. And it's just basically like all the stuff that's been launched this week, and people can vote on it and comment and share their experiences. And it's like you can do it 2 minutes a day, just like check it out and see if there's like an app or a service that you've been wishing for. And so I think it's cool, and he's a cool founder. So I moved to San Francisco, and I bumped into him on the street the other day.
You do in San Francisco.
Yeah, so that was my cool San Francisco story, where I actually was like, oh, I know that guy. I live here now. I'm like a San Franciscan.
It's official.
Yeah.
So. I'm a San Franciscan. What an awesome thing to – she just yelled that out on the street, like Mary Tyler Moore style. She threw her beret and yelled, I'm a San Franciscan.
I did. It was
That's
like
the
that.
Rule. Did you not – like when you're in Nashville and you see a country music star, you have to yell, I'm a Nashvillian.
Yeah.
I'm a Nashvillian.
Sure. It's official at that point.
I've had many of those experiences. This was my first, like, oh, I know that guy from the internet. And I just saw him. but this actually, the shout out wasn't about him, although I think he's a very interesting person and you should follow him on Twitter. But it's about his company, his brand, more, his product called Product Hunt.
More importantly, it's Product Hunt. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Although they're very, very much one and the same right now. That's his baby at the moment.
Nice. And then Jeff, who we've got glimpses of Sherman in the video and just a little bit of him in the audio. What's your shout out for this week?
So I have been, we moved into a new office in October, I think. And we've been like slowly filling in the space with cool stuff that makes it feel more like home. And so I have been trying to build a, what I call a reading nook in our office, a place where you can go and like shut yourself off for, you know, a little while and maybe catch up on a book. And we would provide like a little library in there. And I was really struggling to find a bookcase that would fit sort of my image of what this whole thing was going to look like and how it was going to fit. And I found a site, or I kind of knew about it, but I had never really delved into how it worked, called Custom Made. Have you guys heard of it?
I have not.
CustomMade.com. It is actually really, really neat, the process. You go on there and you can look at projects that have recently been completed, or just start describing what you're thinking. And people who are experts at that, you know, whether it's woodworking or metalworking or whatever, will track down your project. I don't know how they do it. And they will pitch you their ideas and then even send you a proposal with a budget and everything like that. So I found a bookshelf or a bookcase that I really liked. And I, you know, sort of left a comment that was like, oh, I really like this. I'd be interested in something like this, and got like 12 proposals from different experts in like 6 hours.
Nice.
And one guy was local or fairly local and was in my price range. And he sent me like a bunch of pictures of related projects. And so now he's going to build us a custom bookcase just for our office.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's like a reverse Etsy kind of, like, instead of him just having wood that's already, you know, furniture that's already made, I can like kind of tell him exactly what I want, and he's making it to spec. So pretty cool service. I'm definitely excited to use it. Like, if we ever need any furniture at home or anything, I'm definitely going to go back to it.
Very cool. And that was CustomMade.com, right?
CustomMade.com.
Nice. My shout out for this week, this little awesome little piece of awesomeness called the Jambox. I'm late to the game on this one. I know. I know. I'm sorry.
You're always late to the game.
I'm always late. Always late. But I did. I picked up the smaller of the ones, the mini Jambox. And for me, it was a very specific use case. Like, if I'm in the kitchen cleaning or doing dishes or something like that, I wanted to be able to listen to podcasts without it coming just through my iPhone speaker. So that's kind of what I got it for, and it's kind of morphed from there. So, like, I use it all the time. We bring it down to my wife's photography studio, and she uses it as background music for her clients when she's doing a photo shoot. She uses it for her belly dance classes that she does. Like, it's this small little thing that just I never realized how many different situations I'm in on any given day where it comes in handy having one. So I would definitely recommend it. I know Carolyn and I have talked about it. We talked about it on Twitter a little bit. It's jarring because it's got like these voices that will yell at you, like when the battery gets low or when it turns on, or these other random moments and everything else. You can turn those off. That's the big one I was happy for. It still does like weird weird beeps and noises and everything else, like when you first turn it on, when you turn it off, when you hook into something. Like I could live without all that too, but I understand you gotta like have some way to signify that it's doing stuff. So the voices were my big one that had to go. So
yeah.
Definitely check it out, Jambox. They're pretty fantastic. So yeah, that's it. This Hangout's in the books. We'll have show notes up at supportops.co shortly. Big thanks again to our awesome panel and Sherman, wherever he went. We saw some glimpses of him. It's always great to have Sherman on the show.
Oh, is it? Okay, Sherman. Want to say anything? Have you had any bad experiences recently?
He's like, yeah, feed me. You're giving me bad customer service experience.
He's like, I'm currently having a bad experience with my tummy being empty.
The lesson being, don't leave your customers hanging. Like
this is going to be perfect for our audio-only listeners.
Yeah.
They like it. I got a couple of emails about how they enjoy that things happen and they don't get to see it.
Okay, good.
You know, it's cool. So, yeah, big thanks again to them. I'm Chase. Until we see you again next Monday, have an awesome week.